send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the message this morning. I want to remind you again of the prayer request page on the website. Please remember to keep each of these in your prayers. And if anyone has any updates from their requests, be sure to let me know about them. Well, this past week, I was reminded again for about the millionth time in my lifetime that the biggest enemy to the truths contained in the Word of God is from something called, quote, church. I want to address something this week because for Teresa and me and our family, it's very close to home. A few days ago, Teresa told me to go to the Springfield News Leader newspaper and read a story titled, "An Ozarks Church Leader Claims Prayer Regrew a Woman's Toes. Others Aren't So Sure," by Susan Zuck, Springfield News Leader, and I've got the link to the article in the notes. A Springfield area church is claiming that prayer regrew a woman's amputated toes last week. During a live stream of James River Church's March 15 service, Pastor John Lindell explained that a, quote, creative miracle took place the day before at the Joplin James River Church campus. James River Church and the woman involved, Christina Dines, have not returned the News Leader's request for comment. As of publication of this article, there are no photos or videos of the event taking place or the aftermath. The alleged toe regrowth event has drawn considerable attention on social media, with many expressing skepticism of the claims. A website urging anyone with proof to share has popped up at showmethetoes.com. The website cites Luke 17:14, "And when Jesus saw the lepers, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." The services were part of the church's Week of Power, which included services by guest pastors Bill Johnson and Randy Clark. Johnson is a pastor for Bethel Church of Redding, California, which was in the news in 2019 for attempting to resurrect the two-year-old daughter of congregants. And I've put three links so that you can go read about this series of events, and they're listed in the notes. Back to the article. During a March 15 live stream, Lindell said that during a service hosted by Johnson, prayer team members prayed over Dines. Lindell said Dines had three toes amputated after her then-husband shot her in 2015. In 2021, Stephen Thompson was convicted of shooting and killing Carissa Gerard and critically injuring Dines, according to KOAM's coverage of the trial. As the ladies prayed for Chrissy over the next 30 minutes, all three toes grew, and by that point were longer than her pinky toe. Within an hour, nails began to grow on all the toes, Lindell said in a live stream. The video where Dines shared her testimony about her toes growing back has since been removed from Facebook, but still exists on Twitter. In it, Dine said that she had three toes amputated in an accident, but after attending a service at James River Church where women prayed over her feet, she witnessed the amputated toes reforming. "Tonight, I can stand on my tippy toes. Listen, do you understand?" Dine said in the video, "I can stand on tippy toes. No, I couldn't do that because I didn't have toes to tippy on." During the live stream of the March 14 event, Johnson led a prayer session for, quote, creative miracles. Johnson said creative miracles are different than healing and that he was healing by decree in accordance with how God's world works. For example, if someone has a loss of cartilage in their knee, I lay my hand on his knee and say, "God, let all things be made new. I call into being cartilage in this knee," explained Johnson. Johnson alleged that a friend regrew a kidney as a result of prayer meetings. "We had a friend that had to have his kidney removed because it was diseased, and he went in for another kind of x-ray a year later, and they found he had a brand new kidney. He was in a meeting where he was prayed for, and the Lord created that," end quote. During a service on Sunday, Lindell made another claim about the power of prayer. "I'm going to say one other thing, and I don't say this lightly, but I just think you need to know what's going to happen. There are going to be, some of you are going to raise people from the dead. I'm not saying everybody will be raised from the dead. I'm just saying there are some people in this room. You're going to raise people from the dead. It's going to happen," end quote. Well, this is what makes me so upset about all of this. The world looks at this and totally mocks this, quote, church, which is absolutely what the world does to anything that they relate to Jesus Christ, and that's fine. But this, quote, church and every single other organism that calls itself, quote, church is not the voice of God. They are not the representative of Jesus Christ, and the world throws out God, Christ, and the Bible because of these blaspheming heretics that lay claim to something that isn't theirs, the truth of God's word. From another article, when this Bill Johnson was trying to resurrect the little 2-year-old girl that had passed away, and I'm sure you already know what happened or what didn't happen. Well, she reports the mother as saying, or in this article, the writer reports the mother as saying, "All hail, make way for King Jesus. Thank you so much for joining your faith to ours. We feel your strength and radical belief. Keep declaring life over Olive Elaine with us. It is finished," were his last words before bursting back in resurrection life. "So we're not done. It's finished. So we're not done. This is awakening. Come alive, Olive," in regards to their 2-year-old daughter that had passed away. And this, "We believe in a Jesus who died and conclusively defeated every grave, holding the keys to resurrection power. We need it for our little Olive Elaine, who stopped breathing yesterday and has been pronounced dead by doctors," Callie Hailey Genthal wrote. "We're asking for bold, unified prayers from the global church to stand with us in belief that he will raise this little girl back to life. Her time here is not done, and it is our time to believe boldly and with confidence wield what King Jesus paid for. It's time for her to come to life," end quote. Now listen now, all that's great, but friends, claiming King Jesus and not living with him as king of your life is what is so disheartening about these people and the effect that they have on the world. And they absolutely have effect. There is no doubt about it. The original Springfield Newsletter article has been picked up and ran all over the world. This type of junk negatively affects everyone who claims the name of Jesus Christ, even for those of us who understand what the name of Jesus Christ means, in that we're living. Everything we do, everything we say, every place we go, we do so by the authority of King Jesus, not asking permission from any man to do the things commanded by God. The stuff I'm bringing up today is from the, quote, church, 501c3, quote, church. These are the same people who set up vaccination clinics in their buildings, in their, quote, churches. And they tell everyone they can raise people from the dead. They can cause people's toes to grow back. But they set up death chambers in their, quote, churches because of some phony virus that doesn't even exist. And when we dig into the reality as to why they set up their death chambers, we find that it was payback to their true gods for the millions of, quote, dollars that they received during the fake pandemic. These places are not of God. They are not of King Jesus, and the world needs to know this. They're liars and they're deceivers, and they do more to disgrace the God of the Bible than probably anything else going on in the world today. Let me give you a side note here for just a second. I just mentioned the word, quote, dollars in quotes a minute ago. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines dollar this way: a silver coin of Spain and of the United States. Again, listen, a silver coin of Spain and of the United States of the value of 100 cents or 4 shillings and 6 pence sterling. The dollar seems to have been originally a German coin, and in different parts of Germany, the name is given to coins of different values. Okay, the value of 100 cents, he said. Cent, he defined this way: a hundred in commerce, percent denotes a certain rate by the hundred, as 10% is 10 in the hundred, whether profit or loss. This rate is called percentage. Number two, in the United States of America, a copper coin value is the hundredth part of a dollar. All right, done with the side note. We will be using this later on, not today, but later on. Just more proof of another scam that we've had perpetrated on us for every single day, every single minute of our lives, at least for those born after 1964. As I mentioned at the beginning, all of this hits very close to home for us, and that's one of the reasons why I want to talk about this morning, and why I want to keep saying, quote, the church is not the voice of God. The church is not the representative of the Jesus Christ of the Bible. The church is the enemy of Jesus Christ, dressed up in sheep's clothing, exactly like the Apostle Paul said it would be. Now, our voices may be small, but we need to proclaim this far and wide to as many people as will hear. It makes me angry to read comments from all the haters of Christ who hear about what these so-called, quote, churches do, and they see the foolishness and the idiocy of it all, and they use it as an opportunity to trash the true Jesus Christ and the true God of the Bible. I sent a text to someone inside this clown show and simply said this, paraphrasing, instead of letting the name of Christ be blasphemed all over the world, wouldn't it be a simple thing to do to show everyone Chrissy Thompson's toes? I mean, think about it for a second. Are you telling me, wait a minute, forget about me. From the world's perspective, now pretty much every single person in the world, at least in the U.S., that's above the age of, okay, let's just say 18. I know it's probably even lower than that, but let's just say 18. Pretty much every single person in the U.S. has a phone with a little something on there called a camera. Okay, they record everything. Okay, the world looks at something like this and says, really? You're seeing someone's amputated toes growing right in front of your face, and not a single one of you pulls out your cell phone and records it? Quote, church, inside their four walls, has created their own world. And just like the world outside of it, it's a world of make-believe. You're not allowed to question it. You're told what to believe by something called a, quote, pastor, which, interestingly enough, though this man, woman, or trans is the most revered, almost worshiped idol in their, quote, church, is a position, I guess that's an acceptable word, but, quote, pastor is a word that is found exactly one time in the last 27 books of our Bibles. But somehow this, quote, pastor has evolved, yes, evolved, because this thing called, quote, church is a convoluted, evolutionized construct of man that resembles absolutely nothing from the ecclesias in the Bible. And the response I get from my initial question is pretty much exactly what I thought I would get. Quote, if you had confidence in your pastor and what God's doing in your church, you wouldn't doubt it, end quote. Well, listen to me, friends. If, and again, just like in last week's message, if, I'm stressing to you that I have 100% confidence that this did not happen. But if, it is proven that this lady's toes were regrown as a result of a, quote, creative miracle, a term that doesn't even appear in our Bibles. If her toes were regrown as a result of a creative miracle in a 501c3 government-controlled, operated, and funded, quote, church, and if it was truly of God, that would be the day I would close my Bible, put it away, and never open it again. The God of the Bible does not do things contrary to his word. This James River, which at one time was clearly identified as James River Assembly, part of the Assemblies of God, tongue speaking, faith healing, purveyors of the false end times lie, but later, in order to be more inclusive, they dropped the word assembly from their marquee in favor of the more inclusive term, quote, church. Stop here for just a minute. The only thing, the one and only thing the, quote, Assemblies of God ever even came close to getting right was their public refusal of using the word, quote, church. And instead, they used the word assembly. But even though that was close, it still isn't even right, because it's not just the word church that is despicably wrong, it's the concept also. Just trading the word, quote, church for assembly doesn't make it right. Changing the word church to ecclesia doesn't make it right. It's not just the word that's the problem, it's the concept. Jesus Christ did not come to establish weekend social organizations. He came to establish his ecclesia, his government, and call men and women, boys and girls, out of the domain of darkness, the concept that men have been given power to define good and evil, right and wrong, and then force other men at gunpoint, if necessary, to obey their definitions. God is doing nothing in these, quote, churches except calling people out of them. Unlike so many others, I have no confidence in any man that calls himself a, quote, pastor of a, quote, church. A man that doesn't even have the biblical sense to know that the word or the concept is not in the Bible. No, I have no confidence whatsoever in that man, and neither should anyone else listening to this message today. We're to have confidence in the Word of God. We're to have confidence in the faith, the system of belief once delivered to the saints. We're to have confidence that God and God alone is the author, the definer of all things good and evil. And we're to have confidence that God, His Son, Jesus Christ, exclusively are the rulers of this world. In the New Covenant world, men are not allowed to rule over each other according to their own definitions of good and evil. And where we find this happening, which is pretty much everywhere in the world that we've allowed to be created today, the true Christian, the true follower of Jesus Christ, the true citizen of the government of God, the true citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel, is to stand against this false doctrine, ideology, and present the truth of God's word no matter what the circumstances are. If, in and by the authority of the one true Jesus Christ, toes are regrown by the prayers of those who refuse the authority of the one true Jesus Christ, then I'm done. I'm out. God is not the author of confusion, and this is the most confused state of being I've ever seen in my life. Now, we all know these, quote, churches. I mean, they certainly cite scriptures when they think they can force the scriptures to fit their narratives. You know, all I asked for is proof. You know, just show the proof that the toes were regrown. Simple enough. Show the proof. And because I absolutely knew there was no proof, is no proof, never will be any proof. And if somehow there was, it'd be months later after the healing has taken place from the Frankenstein surgery that was performed to make toes reappear. But I knew I would have, eventually get something else given to me as an excuse as to why proof wasn't and will not be provided. Here it is. Skeptics are not changed by proof. Otherwise, Thomas and the rest of the religious leaders and all of Israel would have believed, end quote. All right, let's stop right here for just a minute. I recall very well, too well actually, when I was playing, quote, church. And remember now, I played, quote, church, was on the, quote, church staff of one of the largest Baptist, quote, churches in the U.S. Doubters, skeptics, etc., of anything that the, quote, church was involved in were shunned. They were most times ignored. The, quote, church didn't owe them anything. If outsiders questions, okay, the, quote, church did not owe anyone a response. Now, I get that to a certain extent. If applied correctly to the ecclesia of Christ, I would agree that in most instances, we don't owe anyone a reason, proof, etc., for why we live the way we live. Except for the declaration of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to turn there for just a minute. And I want you to look with me beginning in verse 12. And we're going to get back to this whole concept of these people thinking that they're providing biblical reasons for not just simply showing the proof that the toes regrew. Okay, verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 3. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Okay, when I say that the world is not owed anything by the true ecclesia of Christ, what I'm saying is that ultimately our job in this life is to stay faithful to the word of God, the will of God for his people. Yes, I believe that we are to explain why we live the way we do, explain why we believe the way we do. But ultimately, our responsibility is to obey God, obey his word, and if the world doesn't understand, then that's on them. This, quote, church that has made this claim, and not just this one, there's a ton more. Maybe not nearly as egregious as this one, but there's been a lot more. And the reality is, if they simply provided an answer, provided proof of their claims, okay, wouldn't that shut the mouths of all the skeptics? And if this was all done in Jesus' name, wouldn't this be such a wonderful thing for the advancement of their, quote, church? Well, of course it would. That's not really a hard thing to see. Unless you're one that's been caught up in the deception and you're living in this fairy tale world called, quote, church. So if the, quote, church offers what they believe is a biblical basis for not simply providing the skeptics proof of the three toes that were regrown, okay, what I'm telling you today is that, quote, church sometimes offers the appearance of using the Bible, but what they're actually doing is misusing the Bible, not using it. Skeptics are not changed by proof. Otherwise, Thomas and the rest of the religious leaders and all of Israel would have believed. Well, first of all, Thomas was not one of the religious leaders in Jerusalem. Okay, but I'm just going to give the benefit of a doubt that this response maybe didn't mean that. Maybe it was Thomas and the religious leaders. Because, see, I had referenced the fact that Thomas didn't even believe Jesus Christ himself, but Jesus showed Thomas. He showed him that he had resurrected from the dead. Now, listen to this next bit of rationale closely. And all of Israel would have believed. And all of Israel would have believed when they saw with their own eyes the miracles that Jesus did. They didn't believe because their hearts were hard, end quote. All right. Now, I'm hoping so much that many of you got this and how the scriptures, principally speaking here, were misused. And how the misuse of the scriptures has been used to deceive so many people into falling for, quote, church, and never even given the opportunity to learn about ecclesia, the government of God. Okay, the skeptics in Christ's day did not believe even when it was Christ himself performing miracles. Therefore, today, when we perform miracles such as regrowing three toes that were amputated back in 2015 and offering no proof of this, quote, creative miracle, then we're not required to show anything to the skeptics because the skeptics didn't even believe Jesus. Okay, what's wrong with this answer? From the correct perspective of fulfilled Bible prophecy, of understanding the difference between the old world and the new world, of understanding the timing of when these things occurred, what's wrong with this answer? We don't need to answer the skeptics today, because in the first century, the skeptics did not believe Jesus. Okay, here's my answer. And not only is the answer timely because of the three toes creative miracle, but because of an email that I received this past week going back to the Predestination versus Whosoever Will series from 2021. The whole skeptic's argument is biblically flawed. Who hardened the skeptic's hearts? God did. The unbelievers at the time of Christ had no choice as to whether they would believe or not. They were predestined to unbelief. Now, trying to use that argument today in dealing with skeptics is totally biblically baseless, and it's because people do not believe that Jesus fulfilled all the prophets, which is exactly like this James River, quote, church, all the other Pentecostalists, all the other, quote, Baptists, all the other churches of God and Church of Christ and Catholics and all the rest of them who are futurists. Today, we live in a whosoever will world. And it's horribly wrong to say that we should not offer proof to skeptics and then use those from the first century as an excuse not to persuade skeptics. We must rightly divide the word of truth. We're dealing with a book that is more powerful than any weapon man has ever devised, even those that they think they've devised. When the word of God is misused, all sorts of really bad things can happen, such as entire movements of things called, quote, church, which have done more to lead people away from the truth of Jesus Christ than any other device man has ever created. When you take Acts chapter 2, for instance, and you fail to see the simple, ridiculously clear that even a first grader should be capable of understanding, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, referring clearly to what was taking place that day on the day of Pentecost in the first century, just days from the execution of Jesus Christ, his triumphant resurrection from the dead and his ascension to his Father. When you take what was going on there that day and you then try to say that the, quote, last days are anything other than what the text so clearly says, then you're turning the power of the Word of God from being a truth bomb to being a weapon of mass destruction that leads people away from Jesus Christ and his government. when you do not understand how predestination was the standard in the old world and how whosoever will is the standard in the new world, then you're going to be led away by false teachers whose purpose is to lead you away from the government of God and away from salvation. I want you to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's begin, please, in verse 1. This is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Look what's said in verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Friends, if you believe the prophecies have not been fulfilled, then you can't possibly discern the scriptures correctly. The James River, quote, church, and pretty much every other, quote, church in the world today teaches that the prophecies have not been fulfilled. And Peter says, don't forget the words spoken by the prophets, and don't forget the commands of the apostles and of the Lord and Savior. Why? Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Peter is clearly telling these first century saints that they were in the last days. Friends, when people do not understand this, their understanding of the word becomes misunderstanding of the word. And misunderstanding of the word will cause colossal damage, as we've seen for our entire lives. And why? Why is it so important? Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. When people misunderstand passages such as this, and they misunderstand principles such as predestination and whosoever will, and it causes them to say the Messiah King is coming in the future instead of in the days where Peter so clearly said that his coming was to, it places the reality of the government of Christ in the future. It tells people that Jesus is nothing other than a coming king. Oh, yes, they will call him king until they're blue in the face or until they fall backwards on their behinds, slain in their spirits. But the truth is, the little g governments of the world are their kings in actuality. And Jesus Christ is only their king. Spiritually, that's all it is. The Bible is a book about the establishment of the government of God on this earth. Maybe after some discussion, everyone that claims Jesus will eventually agree with that. But the problem is when? When did the government of God establish itself on earth? Well, it established itself in the first century, just like the Bible says it did. Since then, it has been the responsibility of every living, breathing creature to come out from the ideologies of men, whatever they may be, their definitions, their governments, their, quote, churches, etc., and into the government of God, the control of men's minds concerning every single thing they do in life. The grave danger is misusing, misunderstanding the word of God, is that people then believe that the government of God is future. It's not for today. The government, the control of the mind, is with men's little g, quote, governments, with men's definitions of right and wrong, good and evil, legal and illegal, lawful and unlawful. And when your faith, your system of belief is on this foundation, then you are lost. You're not in Christ, and you're just like it was in the first century. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. These matters are not just matters of small importance. They're life and death matters. They're the ultimate matters of concern for men and women, boys and girls. If you are an alien to the commonwealth of Israel, you are a stranger from the covenants of promise, you are without Christ, you have no hope, and you are without God in this world. Friends, Charlie Stewart did not write this. Charlie Stewart did not come up with this. I'll tell you that 99.9% of people playing, quote, church today do not even know the phrase, the Commonwealth of Israel. And those that might know it think it's referring to a group of people in the Middle East who want nothing whatsoever to do with Jesus Christ. They're perfectly content being without Jesus Christ in the world. Verse 5 is of grave importance because I believe it very aptly applies today as it did back then as well. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What's verse 7 talking about? It's talking about the Mosaic world. Verses 5 and 6 are talking about Noah's world. Verse 7 is talking about Moses' world, and what was coming was Christ's world, the new covenant, where Jesus took everything back to himself, gave it to his Father, and his Father is the sole ruler over his creation and no longer allows any man to administer it unless that man is administering it according to the laws, commandments, ordinances, and perfect will of God the Father as found in the Word of God and in nature. Teresa and I were watching a video this week of a, quote, court trial going on in the U.S. And the, quote, judge and all the parties involved couldn't stress enough how the proceedings were taking place according to the laws and statutes of Utah. No, that's blasphemy. Those days are over. Even during the times that God allowed that, it was still blasphemy. But now more than ever in the new covenant world, it's blasphemy. You want to bring me into your, quote, courts? Then fine. Judge me according to the laws of God. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That's the gospel of the government of God. This is good news. This is the greatest news ever. The government of God is here. It's now. And men are not to be judged according to their own definitions of right and wrong, good and evil. They're to be judged by the altogether perfect laws of God and his perfect will. Wow, what a world that would be. The reason that's not taking place anywhere in the world today, church. Church is the greatest obstacle in existence today because when the, quote, church handles the word of God, it is actually mishandling the word of God. When the, quote, church uses the word of God, it is actually misusing the word of God. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The dissolution of the old covenant world was upon them. It was soon taking place. And seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, was Peter lying to them? Was he telling them a great big lie for the purpose of keeping them in the dark concerning when the events really would take place? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, that's Peter and the first century saints that he was writing to, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And again, was he lying to them? Who is the we according to his promise? Who is the we and who was the his? It was the believers in the first century to whom the letter was written, and the his is either a reference to God the Son or God the Father, doesn't matter which. Rightly dividing the word of truth shows us very clearly when the last days were, when the old covenant world, the heavens, the elements melted away, and when the new heavens and the new earth were established. Getting this wrong is the source of all the world's problems today, and the number one source for the misinformation comes from something called, quote, church, who's more concerned with deceiving people into believing that they can regrow toes than bringing people into the knowledge of salvation. They're more interested in bringing further pain to a mother. I can't even imagine losing your two-year-old and then having some scum-sucking, quote, preacher tell you, if you just believe hard enough, if you just pray hard enough, if you just say the word Jesus enough, God will raise your little baby from the dead. And day one of your intense pain comes and goes, but God's going to raise the dead baby. Day two, day three comes and goes, and the intense pain from the loss gets worse and worse. Oh, then the eureka moment comes. We haven't given Jesus enough time to raise your precious baby from the dead. What scum. Incredible that there are people out there like that. And what's worse is the people that believe them have, quote, confidence in their pastor. And in that regard, I'll use the word confidence with a capital C-O-N, like I do with their constitution, capital C-O-N. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Of course, Peter's lying to them, right? I mean, Peter tells them that they are in the last days. He tells them that they will be witnesses to these things. He tells them that they are to look for such things, but it's all a lie. And it's just like the, quote, Church of England declared recently that God got it wrong. The, quote, church declares once again that Peter got it wrong. Jesus got it wrong, because none of this happened as it's described here. And it's all in the future. The government of God is in the future. It's not for today. Why does God allow these liars to continue and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation? Even as our brother, beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now watch. As in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This is what happens when people fail to yield to the simple, easily understood scriptures concerning the phrase, the last days. This is what happens when people fail to understand the passing of the old covenant world and the establishment of the new. This is what happens when people fail to understand that Jesus came to fulfill all the prophecies, to fulfill all the law. When people fail to understand that Christ took everything back to his Father, the days where God allowed the nations to walk in their own ways, he took that all back. The days where men said, give us a king like all the other nations, Christ ended those days. Today, they call him king, but they still live according to the, quote, kings like all the other nations. Jesus is not in the toe regrowing business today. He's in the business of calling men and women, boys and girls, out of the domain of darkness and into the light, into his government, his peace, his laws, his statutes, judgments, and perfect will. Look again at verse 16, which is the main reason we came to this chapter. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood. At that time, yes, it was hard for them to understand those things, but now we've got the completed word of God. We can look and see, and we can understand. But at that time, there were some things that were hard to be understood. which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. I'm telling you, don't be fooled. Don't be led astray. If you do not understand the scriptures, those that do not understand will be led to their own destruction. Once again, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. This is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we'll begin in verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. The beginning of understanding starts by taking the bread of life from Christ. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh, how I wish these verses would burn into our hearts like it did this day. It is so vitally important that we know the scriptures, that we understand the scriptures. I don't want any of you to have confidence in me. I'm just a man like the rest of you. I want you to have confidence in the scriptures. Know the word of God like the back of your hand. Knowing the word of God is the only way not to be led astray. It's the way to not be deceived by those who would twist the word of God to lead people to destruction. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. It's funny how the, quote, church people refuse to provide proof to the skeptics, yet Jesus didn't have any problem showing proof. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. He showed proof of his resurrection. He showed them proof. But that doesn't necessarily help us today. We're reading about a historical event that took place in the first century. But we believe this because it's in the Word. This is part of our faith, our system of belief, and we trust in it. We hope in it. But now, beginning in verse 44, our eternal principles that are applied most certainly then, and they're most certainly apply today and forevermore. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Friends, I'm telling you, this is the beginning of understanding the scriptures. If a man does not believe that Jesus fulfilled all things, if a man does not believe that Jesus fulfilled all things that were written in the law of Moses, the things that were written in the prophets and in the Psalms, they cannot possibly have their understanding opened. I mean, who do we think we are? How have we become better than the disciples? How have we become better than the apostles or any of the saints recorded in the Word of God? The understanding of the scriptures begins with understanding that Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies. You're fooling no one but yourself by believing your, quote, church, your, quote, pastor. If your, quote, church and your, quote, pastor tells you that you're living in the last days, if that very basic understanding is not taught, then you are being led astray and being led astray by the very scriptures themselves, and you're being led astray to destruction. I don't care how many toes are regrown. I don't care if they did raise a 2-year-old baby from the dead. If they do not believe and teach the present day reality of the government of God because Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies, then what they did or claimed to have done was not of God. There's lots of David Blaine videos and David Copperfield videos out there that show some of the most fabulous tricks you could ever see. But they aren't true. They're illusions. And if you think those illusionists are not part of the, quote, church, then you're deceived. You've been led astray. Verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. The charismatic, quote, church world is not based on the truth of the Word of God. It does not use the Word of God skillfully and accurately. It misuses and mishandles the Word of God, and it does so to the destruction of all those who have fallen for it. It's based on a religion of emotion and sight. It's based on the testimony of men who describe to others things that they claim that happened to them, and things that do not align with Scripture. Well, I know it's true because it happened to me. I know the devil is real because he came into my bedroom last night and we had an actual fist fight. Yeah, friends, I've had more than one person tell me that. When a person's mind convinces them so fully of a deception, typically, there's no amount of scripture, there's no amount of persuasion that can change their mind. Bad anchovies on a late night pizza has been the source of a lot of these people's faith. And I'll tell you right now, basing your faith on pizza is a recipe for disaster. These people are offered one delusional story after another from a very young age. And I'll assure you this, if Teresa and I had taught our children that there's a, quote, devil running around just waiting to eat them up, if we taught them that while they were very young, when they were old then, I mean, they'd be so convinced of this, quote, devil that no amount of scripture, no amount of reasoning or persuasion could change their mind. The religion of, quote, church is based on experience and bedtime stories and drama. Last week, we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to go back there again for just a few minutes. I want you to look with me to a very simple yet powerful principle found in one of the shorter verses in the Bible. It's verse 7. Not taking out of context, as this passage and the next should still be firmly in our hearts from last week. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, which is our system of belief once delivered to the saints. We live by the things that we've learned from the Word of God. We don't live by sight. We don't live by emotion. We live by faith. And if what we see doesn't line up with the Word of God, then we need to examine, we need to test, we need to judge everything by the Word of God. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, and we'll begin in verse 1. Living by sight and not by faith. Jesus addressed this while he was here. Verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Give us a sign. Give us something we can see. If you'll just give us a sign, then we'll believe. Show us a great miracle. No, the only thing we're getting is the Word of God. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 16, and we'll begin in verse 19 very quickly. We're running out of time. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell and in the grave, he lift up his eyes, being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Our faith comes from the Word of God. It comes from what we read from Moses and the prophets, the Psalms. It comes from the last 27 books of our Bibles. We don't change our faith, our system of belief, because of witnessing things that are described as signs and wonders, and especially from the 501c3 government-controlled, operated, and funded, quote, church. And friends, I know that some of you crave fellowship so badly, and I get that. I understand it. But our fellowship must be based on truth. It must be based on the faith once delivered to the saints. The true body of Jesus Christ is not to have fellowship with darkness. Yes, you hear messages every week telling you to come out of men's little g governments, and I won't stop preaching that. But we also need to come out from those that call themselves, quote, church. It is not of God. Jesus came to claim the ecclesia, the government of Israel, for himself. And that's what we're to be a part of. This is all just really so very simple. You know, we've all seen many times now, friend, from a multitude of scriptures, that the ecclesia of Jesus Christ and church are as far apart biblically as the day is from the night, as right is from wrong. They're not interchangeable. We know the word and the concept of, quote, church was not even in our very first fully completed English Bibles. If anything that you believe about the Bible, anything you believe about Jesus Christ, anything that you believe has been shaped, formed, or molded by that man-made creation called, quote, church, I'm telling you that you better get back to the Word of God and make sure that what you believe is firmly grounded in the Word of God. You know, we were warned about false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing, the ministers of evil dressed as angels of light, as ministers of light. I mean, why do you think those warnings are in the book? It's because it's real. The danger is there. And it was there in the first century, and it's still here now. If a man does not come to you preaching the present-day reality of the government of God, then that men, women, boys, and girls are to come out from the domain, from the dominion, from the world of men's little g governments and into the one true government of Jesus Christ. Then you better beware. You better be on high alert. Don't be fooled. Don't be led astray. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be your God. And you will be my people.
For me. help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day.
Been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.